You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It's Thursday, March 15th, 2018, the Ides of March. Et tu, Brute? Buckle up. This show is going to be I've got a lot of information to cover. I've got just a treasure trove of news, headlines, analysis. Things are happening behind the scenes. Things are happening overtly, covertly. Things are happening. Be prepared on this Ides of March. Yes, even you, Brutus. Of course, I'm referencing the Ides of March for those interested in history, the Shakespearean tragedy, Julius Caesar, 1599. Beware the Ides of March. And of course, March 15th, 44 BC, when Julius Caesar was relentlessly stabbed somewhat 23 times by the senators, the Roman senators, Cassius and Brute, leading the charge against Caesar, hence the quote, et tu, Brute. All right, and that's the theme, if you will, the theme of today's show, because there is a lot of espionage, sabotage, backstabbing, front stabbing going on out there. Going to expose much of it in this episode. Before I get into the news of the espionage within our government, the spy scandal that is really should be the story of the modern times, the story of epic proportions. Before I get into that, just a few things, very interesting. Adults not acting like adults, and then you've got censorship. A few points I want to hit before the main thrust of today's program. Steven Crowder, who's just this internet sensation, he got suspended, I think it was yesterday, on Twitter for mocking gender fluid individuals at this gender fluid conference. There's a video out there you can watch. It's somewhat funny. It's more, to me, it's more sad than funny. The sad part of it is this gender fluid conference, that it exists. That's what's sad. That's what's humorous. And of course, Crowder sent a couple of people into this conference, and it's somewhat disruptive. It's available, I think it's on Twitter, at least for now. It's on YouTube, at least for now. But it's really calling out the LGBTQ people, all right? The ignorance, the absolute incredulous, you know, anti-scientific, well, there's more than one gender and a gender fluidity. My goodness. You know, for all of you liberals out there, you progressive liberal fascists who claim science is the answer to everything. Really? Okay, there's a male and there's a female. The parts fit. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you feel you are. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. That's it. God made man. He made woman. End of story. You want to pervert that? Well, this is what you get. So, but that's not even the issue. Obviously, the existence of the gender fluidity conference, I guess, is what I've got just an issue with. I mean, my goodness, what, in my view, in my personal opinion, what kind of freakish behavior is this? Well, Steven Crowder, of course, the other part of this is the banning on Twitter. But look, the larger issue here, aside from that, the bigger issue is, of course, the war against the truth tellers, against the ability to tell the truth. I spent my program yesterday talking about that, and I spent yesterday a portion of yesterday's program talking about the lawfare that's going on, the legal suit against Alex Jones by Brennan Gilmore. I posted that in my program description yesterday. If you didn't catch that program, listen to it, because we're all subjected folks, we are all going to be subjected to this kind of sanction, this kind of punishment, if you will. And I've got this. I do want to touch on this as well, just in case you missed yesterday's program. I want to touch on this very quickly. I've got the 63-page complaint that was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Virginia yesterday, or it was on the 10th, I'm sorry. Brendan Gilmore versus Alex Jones, InfoWars, and of course the parent company thereof, Lee Stranahan, Leanne McAdoo, Scott Crichton, Jim Hoft, who's been a guest on our program, Alan B. West, Derek Wilburn. And I read through the entire lawsuit along with the copious number of exhibits, of course, which has become, in my view, standard fare. And what I found, what jumped out at me, several statements jumped out at me. And, of course, that being one of the statements here, and I highlighted in these papers, on page 2 of the lawsuit. And again, just go to my show yesterday on Blog Talk Radio, where the show's archived. You can hit the show notes, but one of the statements here. Listen to this. Defendants thrive by inciting devastating real-world consequences with the lies they publish as news. From Pizzagate to Sandy Hook and Las Vegas shootings, defendants have subjected innocent people to relentless threats of violence and death, bullying, and online harassment. I've seen this now too many times to count. It's the template of the progressive left, the liberal fascists. Even if they call themselves journalists, Republicans, conservatives, Christians, I don't care what label they call themselves. This is Okay, so the takeaway from that is what? There is nothing to see here with respect to Pizzagate. Now, ill-named, I will grant you that. Ill-defined, I will grant you that. But in terms of substance, you've got to be either attempting to kid yourself or deliberately diverting from the truth to say that there's no there with respect to Pizzagate, Pettigate, whatever term that you would ascribe to the entire behavior of the child abuse and sex trafficking. And I find it very disingenuous especially by those conservatives and Christians who claim to say, well, this is a debunked conspiracy theory. I just absolutely cannot in my mind, from what I've seen and what I've actually investigated myself and what I've seen, it's not. But of course, then you've got the standard fare within here saying, it's you who publish and perpetuate fake news. You're fake news. And it was interesting as well, several programs ago, I did look at the origin of that phrase fake news, first used, who used it. Cheryl Atkinson pointed out where it was really brought into the forefront by none other than Barack Hussein Obama back in September, I believe it was 2016, during the election cycle, at least in the forefront in the context it's used today. So, but all that said, boy, how did I get from Crowder to that? But see, this is the war. And Alex was right when he said, you know, this is both a distraction from the news, but this is the news because we are all engaged in this war. And I just want people to understand it can affect you. It will affect you eventually, whether or not it's in the legal sense. Perhaps, you know, maybe that's a long shot, but at the very least, your voice, barring no action on our part collectively, your voice will be silenced. And that's why I'm coming out to tell you for the last several days, I should do like this is day 7 or whatever as an example of our pushback, our response, because now the gloves are off. Now we will define the playing field. Now we will define the rules of the game. Now we will define what the tactics will be. We are no longer going to sit back and be punching bags for these people, these individuals who come out and make these spurious allegations against us and with impunity, may I add. So my message will be clear, or should be clear, to each one of you. Number one, you're on notice that, yes, the rules have changed. We are now responding accordingly. We're done being nice guys in terms of just saying, okay, we'll blow it off. Yeah, you call us this or that. We're going to blow it off. Because, see, it's not about us. It's about all of us, you too. That's the thing I was trying to get to yesterday. Perhaps that I don't know. I thought I explained it well. But we are all in this together. The lines have been drawn in the sand. And I'll tell you something. I don't care if you are a blogger. I don't care if you have a YouTube channel. I don't care if you've got 2,000 subscribers or 2 million subscribers. You are either for us or you are against us. You are either looking for the truth or you're not. And if you're not, then of course, you, meaning the people who are attempting to hide the truth, to create a false narrative, then you are in our sights in terms of our response to what is taking place. And we are fighting for all of you. Okay, that's the important thing. This is not about us. This is not about InfoWars. This is not about Crowder in this example. This is about all of us, because we either have free speech or we don't. So I wanted to hit that, because that is interesting for on a number of levels. Of course, the fact that Crowder was banned, that's the headline, but the backstory, of course, is this conference on gender fluidity and the liberal fascist denial of science as it is in biology and the Bible, of course. But even you don't have to be a believer, you don't have to be a Christian to understand there's only two biological genders, okay? Just, you know, smacking my head here against the wall. So, in frustration. So, anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. That's just something that I found very interesting in terms of current events. Now, another thing that flashed across my radar. Pay attention to this. Parents in New England, actually from Milford, Connecticut, they've hired an attorney to articulate their concerns about the decision by their school district to allow students to participate in the National Student Walkout held yesterday, Wednesday, to advocate for gun control. All right, finally, some parents getting in the mix here and launching offensives against the government indoctrination centers, otherwise known as public schools. And if you understand the history of public schools, look, Thomas Dewey, how that all came about, how public education came about, and understand what is taking place inside our school system today, you will appreciate the fact that we've got a group of parents now from Connecticut. They got an attorney. They said this is BS. Now, this group of parents, of course, they want to remain anonymous because, you know, the all love, no guns crowd out there, they're really, really, they're loving people. They're arguing that the student walkout, while it might appear to be a fairly innocuous First Amendment event to honor students killed in Parkland, Florida, it's not. It's not. The decision allowing this walkout involves issues concerning adherence to law and policy. But let me throw something else in here. Manipulation of minors, the misuse of tax dollars, and the indoctrination and political activism during school hours. We have a winner. Bing, bing, bing. We've got a winner. This is it. This is it in a nutshell. The indoctrination. Here it is. Here is the pushback. We are now pushing back, like the parents in New Milford, Connecticut. We are pushing back against these liberal fascists who want to define how society should live, how we should live. They want to tell us what nutritional supplements or medication we're allowed to take and how much, and what we shouldn't take, and what foods to eat, and how many guns, if any, we are allowed to have. Musket loaders, perhaps. Now the pushback comes. Because, you see, it's a new day. Ides of March today. But even more importantly, it's a new fight. And we're seeing this now. And I'm getting to the larger issue. We're seeing this happen in government. We're seeing a Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, now exercising, flexing his muscles after a year in office, getting things kind of somewhat situated, settled, moving people around. Now it's becoming apparent. He is redefining the battlefield. This is what we need. This is what we've been looking for. This is now what we're getting. Again, it's a new day, new playing field, new battlefield. We now will define the terms. And in this case, just to finish this, the parents in New Milford, Connecticut, are especially concerned. The student walkouts were organized, of course, by the Women's March, this anti-Donald Trump organization, with ties to radical anti-Semites, including but not limited to people like Calypso Louis Farrakhan. Remember the buddy of Barack Obama in that infamous picture that was held by the photographer and others because we could not have the optics with Obama and Farrakhan. You see, this is all about indoctrination. This is all about using our children as pawns. And shame on you parents. And shame on you people who are out there saying that this is okay. It's not okay. And shame on you who say, well, you're bullying the students by calling this out. It's not okay. You don't use children like cattle or like donkeys on a those animals that pull the plows or whatever. You don't use children, period. Period. Breitbart has reported on this. In addition to citing, by the way, the Women's March Network or the Women's March Youth Empowerment as an organizer of the student walkouts, the attorneys for this group of parents said that the event is promoted by the Action Network, which touts itself as an open platform that empowers individuals and groups to organize for what? For progressive causes, for liberal fascist causes. Thus, it is promoting the event for partisan political purposes. Hell, don't teach our children anything. Indoctrinate them. That's the system. That's the thought. That's what's going on. And that's shameful. You talk about bullying. You talk about one of the most sickest agendas out there. And that is what we're seeing happen today. This is taking place. Your children, through these government indoctrination centers run by liberal fascists, are being used as pawns in this political shameful mess. And of course, the intent here is it's promoting the walkout, promoting the event, of course, is done for partisan political purposes to influence voters to one side of an issue currently before members of the public. And then you've got, moving on from that, you've got the governor of New York. I mean, how old is this schmuck, Cuomo, laying down in the street in this die-in? Disregard the contingent of armed bodyguards around him as he lies in this die-in to protest guns. Disregard the guns held by his bodyguards. Et tu, Brute, Ides of March, right? March 15th, 44 BC. Just saying. Interesting timing, isn't it? So this is some of the stuff in society that's taking place right now. You've got this deliberate confusion thrust upon our children. It's okay if you've got the plumbing of a male. It's okay if you want to call yourself and even change into a female. It's okay if you're a female and want to be a male. It's okay if you're white but you feel black today. It's okay. Insert perversion here. It's not okay. And frankly, the real American patriots, the Christians, the conservatives, we are sick and tired of it. We're not going to take this anymore. We are tired of it. Which moves which allows me to move into what we're seeing today with respect to the lawlessness within our government itself. The lawlessness of 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, the lawlessness of Barry Satora. We don't even know who this guy is. That's right. All right. Some news with respect to the so-called Russian narrative. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. How many months, year and a half worth of, it's the Russians, it's the Russians. Adam Schiff, you know, I was looking over the past, ever since yesterday morning, ever since I finished my show yesterday, I've been scouring the news and scouring the various airwaves to find something about, just like a bedrock, if you will, a bedrock piece of audio, a bedrock piece of audio that I could use to present to you, so you don't have to scour through hundreds of hours of audio and at least provide it to you, and where you could say, okay, this is exactly where we need to be. This is what's going on. It's either an adequate assessment and what we need to do, or any part thereof. And I found it. Mark Levin, whether you like him, whether you don't like him, it doesn't matter. Listen to the message. He appeared on Hannity yesterday, and to kind of set the stage for the remainder of the program, Mark Levin talking about Adam Schiff, the Russian narrative, the collusion allegations, and such on Hannity. Go ahead and roll clip one.
The American people need to know whether the Russians still have something they can hold over the president's head, the president of the United States. So our work is far from done. I can certainly say with confidence that there is significant evidence of collusion between the campaign and Russia.
It's 14 months. What is it?
All right, here with the answer. The host of CRTV's Levin TV and the host of the number one show 3 weekends in a row in his time slot. Very proud of my buddy, the great one. Mark Levin, thank me. How am I? Look, this guy has been lying to this country for well over a year, Mark. 14, Meghan McCain destroyed him. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this. Mr. Schiff is a shill for the Russian government. And I'm going to tell you why it is Schiff who's a propagandist for the Russian government, despite his spinning on all these left-wing TV shows. He put out a list of 30 more interviews he wants to do, even though the Republicans on the committee said there's no collusion. And he mentions a long list. Rince Priebus, Stephen Miller, K.T. McFarlane, Sean Spicer, Kellyanne Conway, bunch of consultants, people with the Trump Organization, some of Trump's lawyers, somebody that runs a group, Christian rights activists. Of course, he wants Donald Trump Jr. to kick around. He wants Jared Kushner to kick around, family members, on and on and on. Let me tell you who he doesn't want. Let me tell you who this shill for Russia doesn't want. He doesn't want Hillary Clinton. He didn't say we should subpoena Hillary Clinton, even though it was the Hillary Clinton campaign that laundered money through a law firm in this Fusion GPS. To do what? To corroborate and collude with the Russians with their phony dossier. He didn't ask for a single Hillary Clinton campaign official. Why is that, Mr. Schiff, since we know they colluded? He didn't ask for the former head of the DNC. I don't know if that was Wasserman Schultz or Donna Brazile. He doesn't want to subpoena them and question them. Where did their money come from? That money that they laundered through that law firm to Fusion GPS to the Russians. That's something he doesn't want to talk about. I've got more. Barack Obama, how can it possibly be that the president of the United States, under whom all this occurred, Donald Trump was a candidate. Donald Trump was a victim. His family was victimized. Barack Obama was president of the United States when the Russians were interfering with our election. Don't we, the American people, want to hear from Barack Obama in an open committee hearing? Well, Mr. Schill for the Russian, Schiff, he doesn't. What about Loretta Lynch and her role on the FISA warrants as attorney general? She's not on his list. Neither are other senior Justice Department officials in the Obama administration. What about these FISA court judges who even now know as a matter of fact that what was presented to them to issue a warrant against an American citizen was materially false because it omitted everything I just told you about the dossier? Now, what else isn't Mr. Schiff interested in? He's not interested in uranium one. He doesn't make a single request for a witness or a subpoena. 20% of America's uranium is now controlled by Vladimir Putin because Schiff is a shill for Putin, in my view. What else doesn't he want? He doesn't want to hear Bill Clinton testify, who got money from the Russians to give speeches around the same time. He doesn't want anyone from the Clinton Foundation to testify, any of the senior officials. That foundation made a fortune off the Russians. Who else doesn't he want to testify? He doesn't want senior lawyers at this law firm, Perkins Coie, that keeps popping up, through which money was laundered to Fusion GPS, and then to the British ex-spy, and then to the Russians to put this dossier together. He doesn't want her, and he doesn't want Susan Rice back. Now, why doesn't he want Susan Rice back? There's a new book out that says Susan Rice objected to the cybersecurity personnel in the White House who said, hey, Susan, the Russians are interfering with our election. And you know what she told them? Stand down. Shouldn't Susan get another invitation with a subpoena to testify before the committee? Apparently not, because Mr. Schiff is a shill. Who else? What about Ben Rhodes, the deputy director of the National Security Council? Doesn't Mr. Schiff want to know what the Obama National Security Council knew about Russian interference in our government? No, he doesn't mention her at all. Now, let me tell you something. Mr. Schiff is not interested in the abuses of the FISA application process. He's not interested in what the FISA court did. He's not interested in the fact that American citizens were spied on and their names were unmasked. He doesn't ask for any witnesses related to that. None whatsoever. I will tell you this, Mr. Schiff, you're a leaker.
Let me
you
ask
sit
you
on
this.
The House Intelligence Committee, and because you're on that committee, it ought to be called the House Stupid Committee. You are the ranking Democrat on that committee. And you say you didn't leak. I have a challenge for you, Mr. Schiff. Why don't you take a lie detector test? Why don't you take a lie detector test so the American people can be sure that you, all over TV, ubiquitous, you might as well be on airport radar and sonograms. You're everywhere, sir. And you tell us you don't leak? Okay, take a lie detector test, because I believe you do. Comey leaked, FBI director. Deputy FBI Director McCabe, leaker. James Clapper, according to a new book, National Intelligence Director, leaker. According to their own texts, Mr. Stroke, head of counterintelligence, leaker. His girlfriend, Paige, leaker. This has been a sham from day one. Why the hell would the Russians want Donald Trump as president of the United States? You think they like him now? When under Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and under Barack Obama, they got Crimea, they got part of the Ukraine, they got a big chunk of Syria, they got 20% of our uranium. Why the hell would Vladimir Putin want Donald Trump as president of the United States when he promised to beef up the United States military and
Mark,
do all the things necessary to secure this nation?
I couldn't say it any better. Now, the next logical point. I want to ask you about Robert Mueller. You're right on every point you just made. The fix was in the primary. That's Democrats. They can deal with their own party. The fix we know was in on the Clinton email investigation. We'll learn more in the IG report. She tried to fix the general election. They paid for Russian and Russian government lies and propaganda. Then you mentioned the FISA court issue. They lied to FISA judges and all that you just said. Why is it Robert Mueller hasn't lifted a finger to go into any of these issues? None of those peoples have been brought in. And what does it say about our justice system?
I'll tell you why. Mr. Mueller, I know you watch these programs, and I believe you and your Democrat prosecutors are leakers too. Mr. Mueller, I have a question for you. You've asked repeatedly, apparently, the Deputy Attorney General, who's the acting Attorney General in this case, Rod Rosenstein, to expand your authority to chase down issues that have nothing to do with Russian collusion. Now you're running around in the Middle East. Now you're running around over here. Now you're running around over there. Mr. Mueller, why haven't you asked Mr. Rosenstein, your friend, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, to expand your investigation to include the Hillary campaign? Why haven't you asked Mr. Rosenstein to expand your investigation to look into the Russian apparatchiks who gave information to a foreign ex-British spy who was paid through a laundered process by the Hillary Clinton campaign in the DNC, Mr. Clouseau? How come you don't look at that? How come you haven't looked at the abuse and violations by your friend, Mr. Comey, and the former Attorney General of the United States of the FISA Court? I'll tell you why. Because this guy's a hitman. This guy who got the whole anthrax investigation wrong and still hasn't apologized to the man he was chasing and ruined for 5 years. This man is out to get the president. That's why.
Inspector Clouseau, best line of the night. Great one. Good to see you, my friend.
Okay, you can stop it right there. Right. That's good. All right. Now, you heard the names, all of the names. And as Dan Bongino says, remember the names. You heard the names out there that Mark Levin had stated. You heard a very well-stated opening statement, if you will, or even a closing statement in a criminal trial, I suspect, at least in the court of the public opinion, in the court of the public. Mark Levin did a fine job in this. The leaks. This segues nicely into a most recent leak here that you need to be paying attention to. Those reading the New York Times and Washington Post, have you heard this? They're both reporting that the FBI's Internal Office of Professional Responsibility, okay, the OPM, or OPR, I'm sorry, the Office of Professional Responsibility, has recommended to Attorney General Jeff Sessions that FBI Assistant Director Andrew McCabe should be fired. This was leaked to the New York Times and to the Washington Post. Now, keep in mind, we've got 27 ongoing investigations, ongoing leak investigations right now. Why did I bring this up? And again, hat tip to Sundance Conservative Treehouse here, but I've got a little different take on this. Let me tell you what was leaked and what is being talked about, and then what I believe is taking place. Now, yesterday, this has been going on. If you go back through the Times and the Post or the the New York Times and the Washington Post, you can, and even some Twitter comments, you can see where there is this push to fire McCabe. Now it's a little bit different. Now it comes out again in the New York Times and Washington Post. They're both reporting that the pressure now is coming from the Office of Professional Responsibility within the FBI. That's almost an oxymoronic phrase there at this point, is it not? At least for the higher levels of the FBI, and I know I've got some FBI agents that listen to this broadcast, friends as well, in the FBI. But, okay, at the highest levels of the FBI, as well as the Department of Justice, simply an oxymoronic statement that you've got this Office of Professional Responsibility. Well, where in the hell were they years ago? Where have they been? This position has been staffed by the same person since 2004. You would think that the Office of Professional Responsibility would have moved on any number of those issues mentioned by Mark Levin, but no. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting leaks, all right, that McCabe needs to be fired, but will be fired soon. Guess what? In a matter of, 5 days from now, the 20th of March, McCabe will earn his full vested benefits from the FBI. What, $2 million lifetime benefits? McCabe, FBI. Short of that, boom, that's gone. The reason, of course, for the recommendation from the Office of Professional Responsibility is that McCabe intentionally leaked information about the Clinton investigation to the media and coordinated the leaks therein. Now, remember, we've got the Inspector General's report coming out. The IG referred the issue to the FBI's internal OPR for review and recommendation to the Attorney General. Again, hat tip to Sundance on Conservative Treehouse. Now, the Times and the Post are leaking information of the determination by the OPR that Andrew McCabe should be fired. Here's an excerpt from the New York Times. Now, Mr. Sessions is the final arbiter of Mr. McCabe's dismissal shortly before his retirement takes effect on Sunday. Though no decision has been made, people inside the Justice Department expect him to be fired before Friday, a decision that would jeopardize his pension as a 21-year FBI veteran. Now, here's what the Times and the Post are saying. All right. He's going to be fired, and he's going to lose his pension benefits, $2 million, roughly. Again, if Sessions fires McCabe for cause, McCabe, the FBI, former FBI director, deputy, could, that is, and would likely lose his pension and benefits. And he's expected to retire with benefits this Sunday, March 20th. Now, as pointed out again in CTH as well as Sundance points this out, the dynamic is interesting. This recommendation by the Office of Professional Responsibility for firing for cause puts Sessions into a box. He's got two options. Number one is to fire McCabe. Number two is to let's just set this aside. Set aside the OPR ruling and allow McCabe to retire. But see, Sessions has got to take one of those two roads. Which road is he going to take? Now, just understand that this has got nothing to do with the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, his report, or his ongoing release of the internal investigation. Merely, the Inspector General just referred, based on his own review and interview, the likelihood, the general findings that McCabe leaked information to the media contrary to policy and law, and of course the Office of Professional Responsibility would take over from there. The Inspector General has nothing more to do, nothing more or nothing less to do with this at all. And again, on CTH argues, on one hand, you could make an argument that the Office of Professional Responsibility disciplinary recommendation, they're trying to hit and punish McCabe at the last moment possible. However, on the other hand, you could look at this leaked disciplinary recommendation as this Machiavellian character scenario, the bad guys within the FBI setting up Sessions, painting him into a corner to create yet another controversial storyline. Of course, this fodder for the media attempting to brainwash, to lie, to pervert what's really taking place behind the scenes. How appropriate that we're talking about this on the Ides of March. Now, according to in the author, Conservative Treehouse, his stance is the latter, of course, not the former. The latter meaning this Machiavellian characters, the bad guys within the FBI, setting up Sessions, painting him into a corner to create yet another controversial storyline. I tend to agree with the author on that. Now, let me say this. Hannity covered this last night. Surface level coverage. Again, I dig deep into this and go beyond anything else as well. Go beyond the citations I've locations I've cited. Now, the Office of Professional Responsibility, the OPR, that recommendation was leaked. Let's understand what's going on here. We're being played. We are all too familiar with the special counsel, with their leaks to the New York Times, as referenced by Levin. Schiff's leaks. It seems like the New York Times and the Washington Post, at least in my view, are the mouthpieces for the bad guys, shall we say, the swamp creatures, the swamp dwellers. And the leaks to the New York Times and the Washington Post are being 100% constructed by these illicit schemers within the intelligence community who are against the Trump administration. These people are decidedly anti-Trump, rabidly anti-Trump. All right. I deal with these people. When I say these people, these kinds of people every day, the very people who want to take us down, the very people who wanted to censor InfoWars, the very people who are in the background, who are working against the truth. I can see this happen from an internal perspective. And I'm just going to put a period there. All right. Now, look at the history. Look at the history of the leaks. All leaks heretofore have framed this narrative that goes only in one direction. Every leak that you've seen have been against who? Donald Trump and the will of the American people. And that's the argument made at Conservative Treehouse. And the fact that the recommendation is coming from the Office of Professional Responsibility inside the FBI is interesting in and of itself. Where were they? Where was this professional watchdog group? Where were they over the past decade when the entire organization was weaponized by Barack Hussein Obama, the Marxist Muslim in the White House, and the political hacks like Bill and Hillary Clinton? Where were they? So you're telling me now, right now, at this very moment, the FBI, Office of Professional Responsibility, has issues with McCabe right now, just suddenly, all of a sudden, 5 days before retirement? We're being gamed. You're being gamed. Think about this. Where was the OPR when the entire administrative apparatus of the FBI was leaking to the media, when they were constructing false narratives and changing 302s, assembling fraudulent investigative materials? Where were you, OPR? Where were you during the Hillary Clinton examination, OPR? Where was the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility then? No. No one's buying this at face value. No one should buy this. The motive for this FBI watchdog leaked internal story and the OPR's recommendation is most likely to create this antagonistic controversy with Donald Trump in the crosshairs. Understand, we are still at war with the swamp. We are still at war. And the war is all around us. Sometimes I feel like grabbing people by the shoulders and say, just wake up. Because, look, if Sessions should desire to fire McCabe in the next couple of, in the next 24 hours, or actually next 48 hours, think about this. What's it going to look like? What are the optics? Do you see how they're managing the narrative or managing the optics in this case? Donald Trump had tweeted back in December 23rd, 2017, at 4:30 p.m. You can look this up. This from Donald Trump, his Twitter account, 4:30 p.m., December 23rd, 2017. He tweeted out the following. FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is racing the clock to retire with full benefits. 90 days to go. He's aware of this. And if Attorney General Jeff Sessions does not fire McCabe, the narrative will change that Sessions is showing more evidence of his own weakness and motive to protect the swamp creatures, which will make Sessions seem like he's in alignment with McCabe and simultaneously anger Donald Trump and all of Donald Trump's supporters and me too. But see, they've painted Sessions into a corner publicly. They're gaming us because where were they? They created this optic. And this is why it's so important when I came out yesterday and said that we are changing. Look, we are now responding. We're not going to put up with what we're putting up with. This is part of it as well. Because can you see what is taking place now behind the scenes? They're gaming the optics here, the public perception of what's going on, and they're creating talking points for the mainstream lobotomized liberal media and their minions, their zombified minions. This is what's taking place. And the FBI, the Office of Professional Responsibility, has painted Sessions into this narrative of controversy, regardless of what he does. Regardless. It doesn't matter what Sessions does because it's going to fall. I mean, he's going to be taken to task either way. But consider this. It doesn't matter in the long run. Let me play you this last segment. It's only a minute, I think, minute and a half. Lou Dobbs, Chris Hayes. On Lou Dobbs, Chris Hayes from Judicial Watch. I think this is the one. If not, forgive me, but I believe this is the segment that talks, that references what's taking place with respect to McCabe and such. Go ahead and play clip two, and if I'm right, I'm right. If not, well, we'll find out together.
Let's go to another issue, and that's Jeff Sessions. He's considering following the Office of Professional Responsibility's recommendation to terminate a man who did not divulge his conflicts of interest with the Clinton campaign until a week after the Wall Street Journal reported the story, and then only a week before the election itself. It's staring everybody in the face.
McCabe should neither be fired, or given his retirement. McCabe should be indicted. Let's focus where we need to go here. He should be held in suspended animation on administrative leave until he can be indicted. He should not collect a penny of retirement. He shouldn't be given lunch money. I mean, this guy needs to be looked at. You've already got an OPR and an IG report saying that, he was less than candid, which means he's lying in regular plain English. We know he was involved with Strzok and Page. We know he wandered over to the Obama White House and was briefing Lisa Monaco. We have these records already. This isn't guesswork. Judicial Watch obtained these records through our litigation. So why in the world are we playing patty cake, wondering about whether he should be retired or fired? Let's indict the guy.
Let's indict the guy, period. That's right. So regardless of what what Sessions does, the McCabe still must stand justice. Justice must be done with respect to McCabe. And so understand this, what I just said here. The leaks to the Post and the Times, mouthpieces by the Machiavellian minions, by the swamp creatures. Again, think et tu, Brute, the Ides of March. I know it's kind of a contextual perversion of that, but nonetheless, you get my drift here. But there was something else that was said, and I go back to the Levin clip, and I go back to really where we're at in the larger sense. Think about this. You had Mark Levin saying, where was Obama? You've got Schiff as this mouthpiece right now. Again, it's all about creating these optics. You've got Schiff creating the optics about Donald Trump, Russia, perversion of our elections, and of course, Donald Trump being an illegitimate president. Hand in glove with this, you've got these individuals, in my personal and professional opinion, who are coming out and attempting to shut down news outlets who talk about this issue and other issues. I mentioned it earlier, things like Pedogate, Pizzagate, however ill-named, the corruption within the DOJ, the corruption by the Obama regime, the lack of bona fides of Obama, regardless of the subject matter, nonetheless, there it is. So everything is such as that is termed fake news. So you've got this war against us collectively. I'm talking about you too. Yeah, you. Talking about all of us. And then you've got this shaping of this, the optical vision, the view, the narrative, whatever you want to call it, but by people like Schiff and others. It's total war out there. And something that was said that not too many people are picking up on, and this will be the final portion of this broadcast, because I do believe this is all connected. It all goes back to a plan where Hillary Clinton was supposed to be elected. And with the election, of course, comes appointments. And when you go back and you look at the activities of Barack Hussein Obama during his 8 years, but more specifically during the final weeks and months of the campaign, it becomes very interesting and the dots begin to connect. Thinking perhaps Hillary Clinton would take the election, this rigged election, who would be her Secretary of State? Have you thought about that? How about when you look at it and you go back and you start assembling the pieces together, one of the top contenders for that position, a name pops up, Victoria Nuland. Whoa, okay. Now, let's talk about Victoria Nuland, because this is a name you're going to be hearing more of, like you will hear of Susan Rice and others connected with the Obama regime, that swamp that does not go away, has not gone away. You have Victoria Nuland, who is going to be, most assuredly, Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State, had she won the election. Well, guess what? Her, along with Lisa Monaco, I had referenced her before. It appears now, if you go to downtrend.com, a piece written by Don Martin, it appears now that former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland, it appears that she's been outed for her role in the dissemination of information compiled by longtime Clinton family dirty tricks specialist Sidney Blumenthal, Cody Shearer, and, of course, Christopher Steele. Now, I did a program some time ago about Blumenthal and Shearer. You've got to know who these people are. You've got to know where how deep their tentacles reach and what kind of activities in which they are engaged. Remember when Devin Nunes recently came out and says, we're going to start phase two of our investigation. This is what he's talking about. Now we're going to be looking at the State Department. And as I said yesterday and the previous days, the State Department, I think it was on our flagship show, Tuesday perhaps, I'm not sure. The State Department has always been this hotbed of communist activity, going back to the FDR, New Deal programs, and especially the Department of State under FDR, post-World War II, this hotbed of communist activity. So phase two, Devin Nunes, present day, looking at the State Department and looking at the connections between the State Department, Obama's regime, Obama's State Department, under where Clinton was, of course, part in which Clinton was part of, and then you've got John Kerry. And you start looking at the people in the State Department and you find Victoria Nuland. And, of course, Victoria Nuland would have been Clinton's, most likely would have been Clinton's most likely Secretary of State, but Victoria Nuland as a former State Department official, former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, we come to find out that she played a role in the dissemination of information compiled by Clinton crime family, dirty tricks specialist Sidney Blumenthal, and Cody Shearer, the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. Look, he caused some waves when he said, okay, phase two is coming. Phase two is coming. The phase two of his investigation into how corrupt the FBI, the Department of Justice officials, how they used fraudulent information to obtain FISA surveillance warrants against Donald Trump as a private citizen, as a presidential candidate, and then as a president-elect, and then even as a president. But there's another part of this, too, and that's this is not FISA Gate. This is not Well, this what this is Obamagate, because at the helm here, Obama knew. Look, you can go back to Nixon, that famous or infamous phrase. What did the president know and when did he know it? Well, that same phrase is operative today. You've got a Washington Post editorial. You've got former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Jonathan Weiner saying, basically spilling his guts and implicating Victoria Nuland, who was instrumental, by the way, in the 2014 coup that led to the ouster of the democratically elected president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych. Remember all of this? The regime change not only ousted Yanukovych, but it installed this rogue government that included extremist elements, neo-Nazis, worshippers of the murderous World War II Nazi collaborator Stefan Bandera, who was instrumental in the systemic slaughter of tens of thousands of Jews. That's right. It was on February 10th, 2018, when the Washington Examiner tweeted out that ex-Obama official confirms Trump dossier was given to the State Department. Go back and look at this. All of these dots are starting to connect now. Ex-Obama official confirms Trump dossier was given to the State Department. Obama knew. The State Department knew. Kerry knew. Victoria Nuland was the agent there. And this by way of the Washington Examiner, a former State Department official who served under Barack Obama, confirmed recent allegations made by Republicans that the author of the infamous Trump dossier and an ally of Hillary Clinton gave him intelligence reports claiming to show collusion between Trump's campaign and Russia. It was the former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Jonathan Weiner who wrote in an op-ed for the Washington Post that Steele and Blumenthal were in contact with Weiner in his position within the State Department about separate dossiers on Donald Trump's possible potential ties to Russia. And Weiner writes that he became friends with Steele back in 2009, 10 years after he left the State Department in 2013. Weiner returned back to the State Department to work under John Kerry. And Weiner kept in touch with Steele about matters regarding Russia in 2016. Steele told him that he had learned of this disturbing information, salacious yet unverified, with respect to Trump's campaign and Russian officials. It's all a scheme here to attack and to remove President Donald Trump and the reverse of will of the people. Yes, it's still going on. I know it's tiring. It's still going on. These are things to keep your eyes on right now. Victoria Nuland, the State Department under Obama, Obama himself, all of the players in this. We are fighting a war on multiple fronts. The more information that comes out, the more that the McCabes, the Newlands, the Rices, the Blumenthals, the Podestas, the more that we talk about these people, the greater the attempted smackdown is against all of us. The liberal fascists on the progressive left have nothing left but censorship, but to shut us down. That's where we're at today. On this, the Ides of March et tu, Brute, 44 BC, 15 March. The Shakespearean tragedy, the playing out right before our very eyes. Folks, I do hope on this 15th day of March that your Ides... You're okay. Of course. Be safe. Pray for our country. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for the truth tellers out there. We're in a war. We're in a battle. You're in it too, like it or not. Buckle up, because it's going to get rough.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.